Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone for the next few minutes? Look at pictures of food your friends ate again? Call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, today marks the end of the most overrated story in the National Football League. But Mike Harmon, we have NIT news. Oh, woo-hoo. you thought it was just the NCAA tournament, didn't you? Oh no, we have the NIT is going to be going. So hey, schools like Syracuse and North Carolina, who play nationally televised games tonight, will have a place to go when they don't get picked for the NCAA tournament. So
no, I think that, well, this will be bigger than the tournament this year.
It will be.
It can be. Because think about all the teams that are going to be left out of the field of 64.
Sure.
It's Duke, all the heavyweights here.
Carolina, Syracuse, Louisville. It's going to be a hell of an NIT. It's going to, wow, look at all these historically great programs that are going to be wind up playing in the NIT. Suddenly, people are going to want to see it, and they're going to want to go to it. Because I got to be honest, you know, with the announcement today, it's going to be 16 teams, and where they're playing it, I don't know how many people are going to want to go.
Well, but the bigger thing, Jason, it's all at-large teams.
Yeah.
That's the triple underscore thing. It's like, it doesn't matter what your record is. It's whether you can put asses in seats.
Doesn't matter.
The greatest move ever.
So where are they playing? Oh, Madison Square Garden's going to be fine. Well, hang on. It's not really exactly going to be Madison Square Garden. Okay, well, it's going to be, what, Madison Square Garden adjacent? No, it's not quite where it's going to be. Well, where's it going to be? Well, it's going to be in Dallas. Oh, Dallas is great. Well, it's not really going to be in Dallas. It's kind of Dallas adjacent is where we're going to have the NIT, as they will play the NIT this year. 16 teams instead of 32, they're downsizing, in the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area, which now when you hear that, you go, boy, that means the rent is going to be less, but it's because it's not going to be close enough to Dallas, which is where people want to be. They're going to play games at the Comerica Center in Frisco and at the UNT Coliseum on North Texas's campus in Denton. So, yeah, Dallas adjacent for the NIT. So, good luck, Syracuse, Carolina, Duke, Louisville, Georgetown. Good luck. Go and play. And hey, this is when the coach says, hey, are you here to have a good time or are you here for the basketball? I mean, if you're here to have a good time, you let me know and I'll leave you behind when we go play. But if you're here for the basketball, you're here to go play with us. That's how it's going to go.
Well, I think the only thing I remember about Denton was Denton County, Texas, was the Von Erichs in world-class championship wrestling. So if they could bring out a bunch of montages of everything when they were feuding with Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez, I mean, we got something spectacular that we could do. Here's the Freebirds, right? Oh, everybody gets outraged. Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah, Bruiser Brody, old video of him walking in with barbed wire, chains, Abdullah the Butcher. I mean, you can really mix this into a cultural phenomenon, turn back the clock, while having all the blue bloods, because you can't show their game footage from 2020, 2021, because it's no good. So you have to show North Carolina with Michael Jordan hitting a shot. You have to show Syracuse and Carmelo Anthony. I mean, it's really well done. I think we could do this.
Listen, as long as you're there for the basketball, look, Michigan State could be there. You know, I mean, listen, this is pretty cool. You know, thinking all of these teams, like, you could have Indiana will be there. I mean, just think about these schools for a second.
I think this is a win, man. I really do. You know, and where it is, you know, it's not at Jerry's Palace. It's not at one of these big shiny domes. But the idea that you could, in theory, just say, all right, what are 16 teams with big followings that we can merchandise the hell out of it and maybe draw bigger TV ratings than the actual NCAA tournament? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest win in sports programming that you can find for college basketball.
Yeah.
What? You didn't win the conference, but wait, you won the tournament? What, how does this work? It doesn't matter. We're just taking 16 teams. Come on in.
Oregon could go. It'd be like the biggest name of any NCAA title. Look, it would be outstanding. It really would be. I mean, just think about all the – yeah, I'd like to go play some more. Yeah, well, why not? Yeah, let's go play. Yeah, I'm good. We're not going to make the tournament. It's okay. You know, we're all right. We can go. Oh, this is good. This is me outstanding.
I love this.
What a great NIT it's going to be. But you got to like Frisco, and you got to like North Texas. That's where it's going to be.
Well,
that's
all right.
Adjacent. Meanwhile,
Dallas adjacent. You love that phrase.
Yeah. Well, that's when I learned that when I first moved to LA and we were looking at places to live and it was
sure.
Beverly Hills adjacent. I was like, ooh, so that means like, you know, not in the heart of Beverly Hills, but on the out. No. It's you're out of Beverly Hills. And if you drive a little bit, that technically it's the outskirts of Beverly Hills. So you're like, oh, okay. Now I get why Beverly Hills adjacent. The rent is a little bit less and it seems like a big place. Because it's not really Beverly Hills. So,
no,
I understand the adjacent part of it.
No, you've brought people into real estate in Los Angeles and the larger Los Angeles County. That is as like, hey, you have beach views. Yes, in the place that we have. If I stand on a step stool and then get on my tippy toes, I can catch just a little bit of the ocean there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike gets swollen dome. We are live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. Now, as we said, the biggest, most overrated NFL story of the offseason is finally behind us. J.J. Watt has a new team. Scooping everybody today. It was no insider that got this story. It was J.J. Watt putting it out on social media. Him lifting weights, wearing an Arizona Cardinals shirt. J.J. Watt is to the Arizona Cardinals. He gets a 2-year deal, and he gets a lot of money guaranteed, $23 million overall. The deal is worth $31 million. Now, you know my thoughts on this by the judging with the sarcasm, which I said the most overrated story of the offseason, because clearly this was something where J.J. Watt really, I got to give him a round of applause, because him and his team Watt found a way to make it seem like everybody was in on J.J. Watt and so many teams wanted him. And whether the bidding war was real or not, it doesn't matter, because he still gets 2 years and $31 million for a part-time guy who is half the player he was 5 years ago, who can't stay healthy. This is who the Arizona Cardinals gave that money to. Part-time guy, can't stay healthy, not nearly as productive as he was 5 years ago. This is J.J. Watt. Right? Oh, but the other teams were involved. Like the Bills, they outbid the Bills. They outbid the Titans. They outbid the Colts. Yeah, all of these teams that are better Super Bowl shots than the Cardinals, yes, they outbid all of them. He decided to go there. Right. As far as the Colts go, just to tell you about how some of the negotiations go when I say Team Watt being able to do this, we had reports that the Colts, hey, they got outbid and they offered a lot of money. Then there were reports that the Colts didn't make a bid, an offer on J.J. Watt. So either they made a bid or they didn't. But in the end, it doesn't matter, because J.J. Watt got his money. And however he juiced the market to make people think, hey, there's a lot of interest and you got to sign me and you got to give me a lot of money, I give him a lot of credit, because this deal for the Cardinals, I don't understand. I'm glad it's not my team giving it to him, because that's the last thing I want, is to be stuck with a guy that's going to have trouble staying on the field and who is not clearly the player he was 5 years ago. All right, I love today. Well, hey, he ranked 15th of all defensive ends in total rush. Yeah, what about quarterback hits and what about tackles for loss and what about passes defense? What about all the things that he's done well up until 5 years ago? Yeah, nobody mentions that. Oh, yeah, that's kind of what the truth is and the reality is for J.J. Watt. Good for him. He got paid. He got his money. I'm happy for him. He seems like a really good dude, does a lot of great things, a lot of good things charity-wise, and he's got a great reputation, but there's no way I was going near this kind of contract for J.J. Watt. Good luck, Arizona.
Yeah, and that's the always going to be the question in these kind of deals of what's reality in terms of how many teams were truly going after them, right? Bears never really made an offer for Carson Wentz. Did they or did they not?
Right.
Or did they they look at the compensation and, you know, just say, hey, we like what he might be able to do, but we're not getting in at that price because we're looking at Watson, we're looking at Wilson, we're looking at this other world that's evolving. With J.J. Watt, you know, there's a number of things in play, and obviously this was not one of the leaders in the clubhouse in terms of speculation. Part of it being we all, I think, as a collective media, assumed going and leaving Houston, getting to the playoffs all those years, but never really getting over. So winning and trying to get to a Super Bowl was a priority. And I don't dismiss Arizona categorically, right? Strange things happen. Injuries happen. Stuff opens up, and all of a sudden you're a playoff team when nobody saw it coming. We see it all the time, right? And we see that almost every year. There's just a team where everything breaks right for them. The schedule, they hit injuries at the right time, whatever. And maybe for Arizona that happens. But that was assumed by all of us to be number one. Well, he got paid a lot of money. Right, so he's pretty much in line with what he's made and what that contract was going to play, which I don't think anybody expected, right? To have, you know, a bidding war or anybody to just come over the top, even if it was against themselves, to say, here's a ton of money. I heard Rich Hornberger a little bit earlier mention the idea of warmer weather. Well, with all the injuries, and that there's a win to go to the desert, right? In terms of the snap, crackle, and pop of your body after all the years. So maybe there's a little bit of value to be had there. So, you know, when you start adding it up, you know, it's not my money to spend. They were about $17 million of cap space before this signing, and some moving around, and we'll see which parts of this squad return. I find it funny though, if you do a quick search on J.J. Watt, because I just wanted to pull up some stats, but then you cited the stats. People also ask, has J.J. Watt ever played a full season? That's the first question.
Has he ever played a full?
That's the first bleeping question on this page.
I've only been following the NFL for a few years. Has he ever played a full season? They talk so great about this guy.
Well, and then I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the story that started circulating over the course of the day. Former Texans coach Blas Watt, quote, he only cared about his stats. You know what? Put your name on it.
Woo!
Put your name on it. If you're going to say something like that and try to diminish what the guy was, and look, we take all of the good works, and then there's always the behind the scenes, and we know it, and you've seen how the sausage is made. You and I, being in this business as long as we have, you know what's projected versus reality, and I can't say that I know J.J. Watt at all, but if you're going to be the guy that's going to go to try to tear him down like that, put your name on it. Be a man. Don't do this anonymous, hey, you know what, during my time with this guy. And that's pretty soft when you get to it.
It is, but, you know, is there probably some truth to that? I'm sure there is. But a lot of people like their stats. A lot of people like their stats. You know, I don't know anybody that doesn't like their stats. Guys like stats. I mean, it's one of those things. Does J.J. Watt want to win? Sure, he wants to win. But, you know, this is a case where if this was the J.J. Watt of 5 years ago, suddenly he's getting more money, he's more sought after, but he's not. I really would love to be able to get a true lay of the land of this is the truth of exactly how many teams were in on J.J. Watt and what they offered. Because I can't believe that anybody else was in like this with Arizona, anybody picked Arizona. Of all the teams, right, that were supposedly in, Buffalo, Tennessee, and Indianapolis, all teams that are much bigger Super Bowl threats than Arizona, right? They're all much bigger. So if they're close with any kind of money, really you're picking Arizona? Arizona, who's a team that has talent but gacked it away last year, and they play in a really difficult division. This is where you want to go. Really? That's where you want to go? So I'm thinking this wasn't quite the big feeding frenzy we thought it was. And all these teams we heard probably had some kind of interest, but J.J. Watt wanted to get paid and he wanted to go play, right? It's obvious that's what it was. I want to get paid. I want a combination of things. I'd love to win a Super Bowl, but I'm not going to go play for like $1 million. I'm not going to do it. So I want to get paid and I want to play. So I kind of want to serve both masters there. And that's why he winds up with Arizona, because I'm sure those other teams wanted him. I'd be interested in J.J. Watt, but not for that guy. 1 year and $5 million? Sure. I'd do that for J.J. Watt. But these other teams probably are. Yeah, sorry, we're not really. If that's the offer out there, good luck. That's what's going on. I would say that's more the realistic situation for J.J. Watt as to what it came to. Suddenly Arizona comes out of nowhere, and they're the ones? I'm not buying it.
Yeah, either a team wanted to do 1 year at a smaller price, just saying, hey, look, we're close, and you're a piece, but we need two or three small pieces to get over the hump, and you could be a big name, a big push, and here's your, you know, you could do all the sell of you go to a new team, and look what Brady did when he joined a new team. Come on, let's get on board. There's a lot more to this, and, well, it's the story of the night, so we don't need to blow it all in 15 minutes, not like when you go to Vegas and right after you get past the shiny lights and into Nevada, you say, gamble! And then you put everything on the table and it's gone. Let it simmer. We got time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Joining us now on the hotline, CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show, who I just found out does not like the phrase, have a catch. He doesn't like when people say you want to go out and have a catch, which means he must turn off the end of Field of Dreams every single time. It is Jason Lockenfor. Jay, what's happening, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey. Dude, you really anti-have a catch, huh?
Yeah. It's not right. It's not American. It's awkward. It's bizarrely, I don't know, it strikes me as kind of like British, very old-timey, just weird. I don't know. It's unnatural.
Wow. That is a really hot take on have. I didn't know you could have that hot take on have a catch.
Just me.
That's
and you can find an interview with Kevin Costner where he like basically is like they forced me to say that at the end of it. Like the guy who wrote the movie isn't really a sports guy, and he's like I cringed the whole time. It's like I had to memorize this 11-page soliloquy, and I couldn't get. And it was so beautifully written, but I couldn't get beyond the fact that no one in their right mind would ever say have a catch.
I love it. Wow. I've not seen that, but I could hear Costner voicing that one. Sure.
All right. So speaking of people being in their right mind, J.J. Watt, 2 years, $23 million guaranteed, $31 million overall for the Arizona Cardinals. What do you make of this?
I'm very intrigued to see the contract, to see all this particular language, and to see what this really is. I'm old enough to remember a week ago when there were people out there trying to tell you that there were multiple teams, two, three, four teams, that want to pay him $15, $16 million a year, which is not true. I don't think this is going to end up in the end looking like a solid $15 or $16 million. Maybe with incentives and a lot of things going the right way, maybe it gets there. There are teams that liked him but had reservations about the age, about the injury situation, about durability. A lot of teams that liked him don't have a whole lot of cap room, weren't going to blow it up for him, and frankly wanted to see what else was out there in free agency before they made any sort of commitment like this. You may think the Arizona Cardinals were a 34-year-old J.J. Watt away from a Super Bowl. I personally don't. But, you know, he's a free agent for the first time in his career. Clearly they wanted to make this move before the market opens for real in 2 weeks for the obvious reasons I was just talking about. There was no bidding war. There weren't, teams falling all over themselves to do this. And there are a lot of teams that have reservations about his body at this stage of his career. I know he played 1,000 snaps last year, but you can go back and find a lot of years in recent history where he didn't come close to that.
Jason Lockenfora with us here on Fox Sports Radio, the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Jason Smith with Mike Harmon. Jason, another story where a week ago, all sorts of noise out in the air, and a lot of it coming from executives in San Francisco as related to Jimmy Garoppolo. But all of a sudden, it's like, hey, there might be some interest in Teddy Bridgewater because Matt Rule's seemingly moved on from that ship.
Look, I've been reporting since November that they were ready to move on from Garoppolo. Garoppolo knew they were ready to move on from him. He had his eyes elsewhere in case that became a reality. And the only real factor here was, what are they able to execute? What will it cost them? How much money could they save? How could they reposition themselves as an organization? And if Kyle Shanahan felt like there was a way to do that, that involved moving on from Garoppolo, that's what they were going to do. The contract was structured a certain way for a particular reason, and we're now at the point where it's pay as you go. It's to the the guarantees are dealt. You don't have to deal with dead cap or any kind of excessive penalties against you by trading him. And it's just a matter of what else can we do here as they move through the offseason. Publicly, they're going to say what they've always said and what they have to say, but trust me, people in that organization, and again, the quarterback himself is not naive enough to think that they aren't out there flirting with everything that moves that they think could allow them to win games in a different way, whether that's with a quarterback who's exceedingly better in their estimation, or whether that's with a quarterback who's making less money, who they can get, again, and then put some of those resources that they save into other positions. Will they be able to do it? I don't know. They don't have the same kind of draft capital and the same kind of tradable commodities as some of these other teams. And when you start talking about a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, if that comes to DEFCON, I don't think either of those quarterbacks will get traded to San Francisco. I don't think they're going to be able to get Deshaun Watson either. There's too many teams with a lot more at their disposal, higher picks, et cetera, who I think could beat them in a bidding war. Do they move up in the draft? Do they do something there? Would a Teddy Bridgewater make sense for them, especially if he's on the street and he's cut? Maybe, if the price is right. Again, they don't have right now probably the payroll flexibility and the cap flexibility that they would covet, and they don't know that another $26 million at Jimmy Garoppolo is necessarily the best way to win football games.
Are they in on Sam Darnold? We've heard, Kyle Shanahan loves the guy, and potentially there could be something there. Are they really in on him, or is that something that's just been floated out there?
No, they're definitely interested in him. Have they had full-blown trade talks about him? Not that I'm aware of. Doesn't mean that hasn't happened. It's also still a little early in the game. This is a weird draft process this year, and you don't really know what you're dealing with until these pro days. And even then, you can't get hands on them like you normally would. You can't get them in your building. Your scouts haven't been able to spend time with them as they went around these schools in the regular season and watched film on campus and all that stuff. None of that got to happen. So, I think it's going to take time for the Jets to figure out what makes the most sense for them. But, when you start getting into the middle of April, then I think you're really taking people's temperatures and saying, okay, what would it take to do this? What would it take to do that?
All right, Jason, you've been reporting for a while. Alex Smith was going to be out in Washington. Obviously, we got a lot from him over the last couple of weeks about his thoughts of where everything was in terms of his return. Where's the best fit for him in 2021? Who takes a shot that right, he can be the backup?
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing right there. This is a guy who brings a lot of value added as a human being. As a role model in terms of mentality and determination and spirit and willpower. He's a student of the game. He's a tremendous human being. If you need him to go out there on Sundays and compete against the best athletes in the world with what he's dealing with his lower body and that leg in particular, I don't know that we're looking at another happy ending when it comes to how what Alex Smith is doing from a productivity standpoint, and then just from a health standpoint. He got hurt pretty quickly again this year. Now, we could say it's not the greatest offensive line and this or that, sure. But I think you're really taking a risk there if you're talking about playing Alex Smith for 3-4 weeks or something like that to try to keep your season going if your starter's hurt. I think Urban Meyer in Jacksonville would look at him and say, man, what a great mentor, what a great role model for Trevor Lawrence. And obviously Urban knows Alex Smith since he was a teenager. You know, does Andy Reid look at him as somebody who could make some sense back in Kansas City? I mean, maybe. I think, you know, when people evaluate that film from this year and they talk to their doctors and you see the risk involved, I just don't know that there's going to be much of a market at all for Alex Smith. But we'll see.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora in the midst of 800 words on Syracuse's huge win over North Carolina tonight that maybe jump-started their NIT hopes. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Have fun.
You got it, guys. Have a great week. Thank you.
See you, Jason.
Right. There goes Jason Lockenfora. Look, I'll give you a big landing spot for Alex Smith, and this gets into what the biggest mystery of the offseason is in the NFL, and that is what the hell are the Patriots doing at quarterback? I feel like Frank Costanza. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Like, really, what the hell are they doing? I mean, New England has been the modicum of a great organization for 2 decades. 1 year Tom Brady leaves and suddenly it's, what's happening now? What's the plan in New England? Yeah, we had salary cap hell this past year. Okay, I get that, but why aren't you trying to figure out to make a move for a quarterback? Where is anything? Where are they anywhere in trying to get a quarterback? Because they don't have anyone. You know you can't bring Cam Newton back. He stunk last year, right? Would Alex Smith be someone that, hey, if the Patriots signed Alex Smith and they drafted their quarterback of the future this year and a guy like Trey Lance is playing behind Alex Smith and learning? Yeah, that I could see that. But I really don't know what New England is doing, all right? They know no one's going to trade down with them in the NFL draft, right? They're not going to be able to say, hey, we're going to give you these picks, you go up and get a quarterback. Teams are going to go, no, we're not allowing you to build another dynasty in New England. We're not doing it, all right? So that's going to be out. I know that this is a deliberate plan for the Patriots, but I don't know what the end game is. I really don't. I mean, it's like Doctor Strange. I'm looking, there's all these 14 million combinations, and in one, the Patriots win the Super Bowl again. And that's very fair. I really don't know what they're doing. I mean, I can see the Patriots devolving into such a huge mess so quick, and we wonder, what happened to the genius Bill Belichick? How did this happen to them? Because clearly, I don't know what their plan is. I don't know. Are they going to be able to say players are going to go there in free agency? No, they know that they're not going to be treated like they want to be treated in free agency, and Tom Brady's not there to win Super Bowls that would make it palatable. So how successful are you really going to be in free agency? Yeah, you had guys opt back in, and that's okay, but you got to go get somebody. You got to have some kind of plan at quarterback. You're not drafting high enough to get one of the top guys, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what the Patriots' plan is, and this could, they could turn into the next huge mess, and suddenly this year is all stories of the Patriots. Look what happened. You know, how fast it goes from this to this, and Brady wins. And really, it could happen that fast because I don't know what the end game is for them.
First off, people have already written those stories. Did you not pay attention to what was going on this entire year? Everybody took their shots wherever they could. And wherever they could throw in a good divorce analogy, they did that too. Oof. So you got that. As for the image that you've now planted in all America's head, anybody that can do one of those deep fakes like they do with Tom Cruise or whatever and put Belichick's head on a floating Benedict Cumberbatch with the cape in the hall and the whole thing where he's twitching and making the going through all the different possibilities, I would love that. That would become like the greatest thing. I would sell that as if it were an NBA Top Shot, and I think I could make millions on that. Obviously, they're going to work in stealth mode, as you said. Nobody's dying to come over the top and give them another run at the, well, another bite at the apple, to use that analogy. So I think there's still work to be done. A lot of folks now getting all excited about Mac Jones. Maybe that's part of it. You mentioned Alex Smith, a guy who takes care of the football, doesn't make mistakes, and would be a good mentor to a young quarterback, and could probably get a young quarterback ready
pretty fast, because that's the key. If you're bringing in Alex Smith, as Jason said, and as you and I have spoken since the beginning of this past year, you got to have someone that's ready to get up and moving. Not that we don't see injuries a lot at that position, but certainly different circumstance. You like what he can do. You like the way he controls things on the field, but his value would be even more. I mean, you saw Josh McCown get released, right, from Houston. The latest in the purge, but a guy that everybody is like, all right, he's going to be a coach here somewhere. And then it's just a matter of when and how and whatever. Same kind of thing. Value might be with the helmet, with the youngster behind the scenes. So you could see it there. Otherwise, they're just going to go and take Sam Darnold from you and turn him into the star that the Jets couldn't. How about that?
Oh, hey, listen, it clearly could be where the Jets go, what do we care about trading Sam in the division? He's not our quarterback. He could be the Patriots' problem. Yeah. No, I could clearly see the Jets doing that. They are 100% doing that.
But I'd love to be in the room if that happened.
Outside of that, I don't see the other team going to do something, because the only other teams that would do things like that are, and they're not Cleveland anymore. The Raiders aren't going to trade Derek Carr there, and they'll Goff. So, I mean, those are the four teams you would say, hey, if anybody's going to do something stupid, those are the four teams to look at. So you only have the Jets that could do that now. So outside of them, I don't know what the end game is. I don't know what their plan. I don't know what their plan is to get back to being a great team.
It makes you nervous as a Jets fan that it's not being played out in front of your eyes. Like, they're doing something. He's doing something. I just can't figure it out.
If I tell you it's the one, it won't happen. All right. Twitter it, how about a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. But, yeah, that's the thing. They could turn into one of the biggest messes in the NFL so fast, it's not even funny. They really have some kind of stuff ahead of them, and I really don't know what their plan is. But speaking of quarterbacks, coming up next, oh, my goodness. One quarterback was thrown under the bus today by none other than his big-time media star brother. Wait till I tell you the story coming up next, where the big-time media star brother said, oh, hey, if my brother's team, where my brother's a starting quarterback, could go get Russell Wilson, they should go get Russell Wilson.
I'm very, very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. We're talking about it next here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Knicks. They're over 500 now, Knicks. They're in fourth place in the East, Knicks.
I hate that song.
If the season ended today, they'd have home court. Tom Thibodeau is coach of the year. Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harbin.
I'm an ass, man.
The Knicks are over 500. I mean, it's unbelievable. We'll get to that. I mean, it's been 45 minutes. We haven't mentioned it. I mean, I just got to mention that the Knicks are over 500, and we're halfway through the season.
Yeah,
not like, hey, the Knicks are 2-1. No, come on, man. It's a big deal. But I don't know. I don't have a brother. Harmon, you have 11 brothers. And the way you told me your relationship was with them, I can see them doing this to you. But I don't know that I could do this to my brother. So earlier today, David Carr, former Texans quarterback, NFL Network analyst, wrote a column for NFL.com that talked about the four teams that are on the short list for Russell Wilson, right? The teams that he said he would go to in a trade, right? That he told the team, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, and Raiders. Well, David Carr wrote in his column that if I'm one of these four teams, I'm picking up the phone yesterday, which, of course, it's Russell Wilson. But here's the funny part. David Carr's brother, of course, is Derek Carr, who plays quarterback for the Raiders, who is one of the teams mentioned. So what do you do? This story stayed up here like this all day. It's like, oh, my God. Wow. He just really just threw his brother under the bus right there by saying, yeah. Hey, you're good. But, hey, you got to call and get Russell Wilson. I thought it was kind of gutsy, and it was something that it stayed up there. Except a couple hours ago, the story was slightly edited to say, if I'm a quarterback needy team, I'm picking up the phone. So not if I'm one of those four. It's just, hey, if I'm a quarterback needy team, I'm picking up the phone for Russell Wilson. So basically, David Carr went from, whoa, this is really something, I'm throwing my brother under the bus, well, to saying something that's the most elemental things. If you need a quarterback, you know, Russell Wilson is really good. You should try to go get him. I mean, Magic Johnson can tell me that in a tweet. I mean, really, that's what they're paying David Carr. Hey, if you're a quarterback needy team, Russell Wilson's a guy to go get. No, really? That's like saying, you know, if you're hungry, you should probably eat food. Oh, really? Really? Yes. If you're hungry, that's going to do it for you. I went from being so impressed, and now I'm like, oh, come on, man, really? I ran that swing gamut of emotions this afternoon.
No, well, he failed because he did the ultimate work for his brother. That is his brother saying, I'm tired of Gruden. I'm tired of this organization. I got 2 years on this team-friendly deal, and they're holding me back, man, and I'm the butt of all the jokes, and it's not working out. And that was David Carr doing a solid for his brother. Yeah, come and get him. Go make a trade. Because it was more the, all right, get Derek out of Nevada more than that. And then someone either didn't interpret it right or one of his editors caught on to it and said, hey, walk that back. Make it more nebulous. Make it a more generic statement. We want to appeal to all of these bases so they all run with it. Because as it was written, I mean, that's only one city out of the four. So, you know, you get a bit excited here and make it a more generic statement. And now it says, all right, just put it in play and hypes Russell Wilson, right? He gets the love he needs. But I think the initial one and making sure it was specific to the teams that were, I don't want to leave the Seahawks, but if I do, here I go. I think he was trying to hook his brother up. I really do. I think that was an opportunity to kind of bolster the, hey, there should be a market for Derek Carr. Because, right, there was the report over the last couple of days of they're not looking to extend him. And with that team-friendly deal where he's making in the low 20s, and I know I wish to have those problems, but for a quarterback for the next 2 years, that is the greatest. It's the greatest thing to trade for him, and the greatest reason for the Raiders to stay with him is that he only takes up that much of your cap space. But I think this was David Carr trying to do his brother a solid, and then it kind of got mushed.
See, I'd be with you if they didn't change it. If they kept it out, I could say, okay, I could see that. Hey, you know, David and Derek Carr are talking. I could, but then they changed it at the end. I'm like,
See, okay. I think someone got wise to it. That's why.
Oh, do you think Derek blocked David Carr on Twitter? Do you think they blocked each other?
I haven't been blocked yet. We've said some inflammatory things here. Nothing untrue, nothing untoward, nothing derogatory about the man himself. But figure just the, you know, bringing up, throwing the ball out of bounds on a fourth or coming up short on a fourth down, running out of bounds. Those things would get me blocked. Haven't yet.
Let me see. Derek Carr. I know I can still tweet at Derek Carr. Oh, and David. I could do both. David and Derek
Carr. How about
that? I could do both. Maybe not in 5 minutes.
No.
But maybe now. Twitter at how about a fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. No. If you're a quarterback needy team, go get Russell Wilson. Hey, a conversation coming up next that everybody is going to get and want to get in on. This is Fox Sports Radio.